Are you tired of the cookie-cutter approach to education that's stuck in the last century? Are you seeking a win-win situation where your family thrives, your kids' education is revolutionary, and you still get to chase your own dreams? Welcome to Unschooled Unleashed. Unlock your child's genius. I'm your host, Matthew Jarecki, an unapologetic rebel dad and promoter of what many consider to be educational anarchy. You know the world isn't going to be won by those that just toe the line. It's the innovators, the visionaries, and the resilient spirits that are going to thrive. Our mission here is to forge those world changers within our very homes with less stress, energy, and time. Unschooled Unleashed starts now. Today on Unschooled Unleashed, we're going to talk about unleashing your child's genius through unschooling. I think unschooling is really the path that's going to most clearly get you to help you, your child find their genius. They're going to get to know more about themselves. And in this episode, we're going to talk about how you as the parent can help your child find their genius. So really supporting your child in that. What I'm really talking about when I talk about genius and even my own personal journey to find, you know, my quote unquote genius, where I'm operating within my highest capacity, let's say. So with that, let's dive in. Welcome to another terrific episode of Unschooled Unleashed. I'm your host, Matthew Jarecki, and today we're going to talk about how to unlock your child's genius, specifically using unschooling strategies. Really, we want to grow each child's genius. You know, that's why we listen to this stuff. That's why we think within our child there is a genius. And what I want to do is I want to empower parents to help discover and nurture each child's unique talents. And that's the strategy we're going to do, is find the child's unique talents or genius by creating a personalized educational journey. And when I say personalized educational journey, I'm specifically saying they're personalized on their own timeline, unique deep dive into whatever they're interested in journey. That's their education, right? As opposed to, we're going to follow the curriculum to a T and we're going to hit milestones on the timeline that we have dictated, and every child is going to be the exact same. They're going to have the exact same curriculum. No, we're not saying that. In order to find your child's genius, their unique talents, right, their unique giftings, it needs to be personalized. We need to allow the child to differentiate. We need to allow them to do deep dives into something that they're really interested and good at, and good at, in order to cultivate that genius. Now let's dive into the quest for genius. Let's talk about that first. So I believe every child harbors a unique genius, a potential that, when unlocked, can lead to extraordinary contributions to the world, we'll call it, to humanity, to whatever. When I say genius, I'm specifically talking about their unique gifts and talents, okay? So that's, you know, it's in the title, Unlock Your Child's Genius. I want to be able to find what that child is uniquely gifted in and then expand upon that. Give them that 10,000 hours of mastery before they graduate high school. If you've ever heard of the concept that you really need to spend about 10,000 hours in something to become a true master at it, to master something, that's what I'm specifically referring to. And if you think about that, there's about 2,000 hours in a year if you spend 40 hours a week on something. That's how long it takes. So you're talking about 5 years full-time learning something. And we can definitely do that before they graduate high school, if you can find it early enough, right? And if they really love it, they're going to spend more than 40 hours a week on it, or at least they're going to spend a good couple hours a day, and over time they're going to hit that. So they can actually become a master at something before they actually graduate high school. I like to think of it like this. You know, when I struggle with, oh, we're not hitting timelines on curriculums out there, you know, the standards of whatever curriculum they've designed for your school system, sometimes it's a little hard to look at that and go, oh wow, we haven't covered any of that or much of it at all. Like, we're way far, quote unquote, behind. But then I think about, what we're actually doing. We're allowing our children to thrive in areas that they find fulfilling and interesting, and that we're going to find their genius. For example, like consider Mozart. He had his musical talents stifled because at the expense of being, you know, learning, I don't know, something arbitrary like Ohio history. You know, he had to spend all this energy and time on learning history and math and this and that, arguably all good stuff. And honestly, I think I would try and expose him to that too if he was my child. However, not at the expense of learning music. If I saw he was uniquely gifted at music and this was his calling, or at least his calling for now, I would dive in head first with that and then look for opportunities to try and introduce other things as well, but not at the expense of what he's truly gifted at. I believe curriculum stifles. It tries to have people not differentiate, not find their unique talents. So I'm not going to subscribe to that belief when I'm suppressing little Mozarts, if you know what I mean. Moving on. The genius in unschooling, we'll call this next topic, embracing their natural talents. So unschooling allows a child's interests to flourish without the confines of traditional curriculum, unlocking potential in unexpected areas. I think that when you follow a child's curiosity, you're going to find their genius in unexpected areas. When they ask questions about something, it means they're interested in it. Follow that. For example, maybe your child's really interested in dinosaurs. I know I was when I was a kid. I thought dinosaurs were pretty cool. And that may evolve into a passion for paleontology, let's say. And if my child does not learn, again, I go back to this silly requirement that we have in Ohio, arguably good, but a requirement that every child has to have this, learning Ohio history at the expense of them becoming a great paleontologist, I just don't think is worth it. If you try and force them into music when they like history, you know, arguably you should try and expose them to that. In fact, I believe we should try and expose our children to music. But if they don't like it, and if they have an aversion to it, and it takes a lot of their energy away, I'm not going to continue to press that to meet whatever arbitrary standard curriculum is set by whoever. when they want to be a paleontologist, or maybe they want to be a musician, or maybe they want to do all this other stuff. I don't want my lack of exposure to lead to them being stifled in any future opportunities, but at the same time, I don't want to push them into something they're not interested in. So I believe we need to embrace their natural talents. Moving on, let's talk about the parents' role, parental guidance. We need to be, if we want to cultivate our child's genius, we need to be observers and not dictators or authoritarians. If we observe our child and gently guide them towards their natural inclinations, we as parents can nurture a child's innate talents without imposing on their own expectations. I think that we can nudge children into things that we think are beneficial for them. We're the older, wiser generation who's trying to guide the younger generation. And if we see they have an inclination towards something, let's dive in. Help them dive in. If we see they have a natural talent in something, help them dive in. We don't want to impose our own expectations on them. Maybe we think they, you know, maybe we weren't very good at math and we found that, you know, if we had the resources, we would have been very good at math as children. And then we go over and try and impose that on our children, like give them all the resources for math, but they still don't like it. We should not have expectations that they're just going to be this great mathematician. We should be observers, not dictators in our kids' lives. I remember when I was young, it wasn't that young. I was probably 14. So I was younger. Like I was a teenager, right? It's going into high school. And I, all throughout my life, my mom saw that I had this talent for drawing art. And I mean, looking back, I was very talented at this. I did it on and off here and there, but it was pretty consistent. I enjoyed art. And I was signing up. I was going to public high school for the first time ever as a freshman. That's ninth grade for us in the States. And my mom saw that I was passing over an opportunity to take an art class in ninth grade, and she begged me. She begged me, please take this art class. You are gifted at this. Please do it. And I wanted to take other stuff. For some other reason, I didn't want to take art. But she made a promise that I could not refuse, and she said, I will owe you one. It's the only time my mom has ever said I'll owe you one. And I said, I cannot pass this up. This is an I gotcha. This is a I'm going to cash this in when I need it thing. So I decided to take the art class. Believe it or not, I have not yet cashed in on this. I owe you. But I did not regret my mom steering me or nudging me into getting involved with art. In ninth grade, I didn't take it very seriously. I just did it because my mom asked me to, and that's it. But then we had this, every Tuesday we had to have this a sketch that we drew, hand drew, turned in on Tuesday morning for my art class. You could draw whatever you want. It could be as basic as you want. It could be as complex as you want. That's it. Just something. I took it very, very casually at first. And then I saw what some of the other guys were drawing and how much attention they got for some of their drawings. And I'm looking at it thinking, I could do better than that if I just applied myself. So one week, I decided to apply myself. Blew everyone out of the water. I became, I always hesitate to toot my own horn, if you will, but I became the best artist in that school as far as hand sketches. And from that week on, my goal was to blow everyone's mind every week. So I drew these mind-blowing sketches and I expanded my horizons. I really spent a lot of time on this, and it really became a part of my identity. I put my mind to something and I was able to do it, and I just grew this talent. Now, I ended up abandoning this after high school. I wasn't interested. My mom wanted me to go into some kind of career with, you know, graphic design or something like that. I just didn't find that. I felt that I wanted to keep that as a hobby for myself. I felt that that's where it was best used for. If I got paid to do that and I was expected to show up and do it, I might end up hating something that I loved. But I ended up just dropping it completely, and I never drew beyond that. Oddly. Either way, for that moment, and what I was able to pull from that moment, is that I am a creative person. And that was just one outlet. But I have many different outlets. But that deep dive, even though I didn't use it in its actual form, you know, hand sketches, was able to grow something within me that I could use later in life. So it wasn't wasted. But if my mom forced me to do this, I probably would have hated it. If my mom nudged me into it like she did, I ended up finding something that she saw in me that I didn't see. So I think that this kind of nudge, being observers and not dictators, I think is very important. And we can see that in our children. If they're good at math, try and nudge them into more math stuff where they can apply whatever that is. Find where they're not connecting with it. Because I wasn't connecting with that art for some odd reason. All of a sudden, I started connecting with it. That was a great gift my mom gave me. Moving on. Exploration over education is what I call this next little segment. This is really where we have learning beyond the textbooks, okay? So we need, And this is in contrast to what I said earlier, but we do need broad exposure to various fields, from arts to sciences. It can unveil passions and talents that just flipping through a textbook or sitting through a PowerPoint can't reveal. This is, again, part of our responsibility as parents, to try and help our children find their genius, find their talents, find their gifts. Just handing them a textbook isn't enough, but trying to find where they can thrive and exposing them to different things. If they've been totally immersed in science and that's what they love, yes, do that deep dive, but don't forget that there is also art, okay? That there's also music, that there's also, anything, technology. There's many different ways, many different things to explore, history. We want them to be exposed to all of it, because only then will they know if they actually have a gift at it, if they're actually drawn to it, if they've actually, does it spark their curiosity? And if it does, dive in. Maybe it's culinary science, if you will. I don't know if they call it that, but being a chef, cooking food, making food, baking, doing that kind of stuff. And that might ignite a lifelong fascination with building something that's incredibly tasty. I don't know how else to say it, but just being like a really good cook, a really like a chef, if you will. Like, have you ever gone on over anyone's house that they cook something and they're just like, this is my thing, and you eat it and you're like, that is amazing. Those people should be supported by us for making such great food. Trust me, I love food. I have to be very careful with food because I love it so much. But yeah, we should support those people in really making more of that. I mean, the more we're able to support people for finding the things that they're really good at and their unique contributions to the world, the better our world is going to be. But even if it isn't, say, culinary that they're interested in, maybe that getting them in the kitchen ignites a lifelong fascination with chemistry. Maybe it leads to something else. Maybe it's a stepping stone. Things aren't so clear. The path isn't so clear to find your talent, your gift, your genius. So remember that this broad exposure might actually help build that. But diving into culinary experience might lead that chemistry fascination. And that's the only way it would have happened. I know that was with what happened with me with art. Is I like to create. I'm a creator. And art was just one way to find that out, right? So that led to even this podcast, for example. And I do have a love for art. I took art history. I took 4 years of it in high school. I even took some of it in college, I believe. I think some of it was in college. Either way. Oh, yeah, it was art and music history. Took that at Ohio State. It was a very fantastic, it was a great class. I loved walking in there. It exposed me to a bunch of different types of music and different things. Moving on. We as parents also need to give our kids encouragement and resources. And this is the fuel for the fire of interest. Okay, so by us parents providing resources and celebrating each step along their journey, it encourages a deeper exploration and just reaffirms that that the child's pursuit of their interest is valid, okay? And I think that's important. We can validate our children in so many ways. This might be when you enroll your child who loves storytelling into a creative writing workshop to help them refine their narrative skills, or maybe it's walking them through the museums, whatever their museum of choice is. If it was dinosaurs, then let's walk through a natural history museum. Maybe it's signing them up for a dance class if they just seem to love to dance, like self-express themselves through dance. It might not be the end goal. It might not be the thing that they actually do, but that is just one step about learning about yourself that is unique about them that will be that genius. And sometimes it's not just that one thing, right? I've already kind of dived into this a little bit, but they learn dance, but then they learn science, and maybe they combine the two to make that true genius. I've always thought sorry, I shouldn't say that. One thing that I learned is that your genius isn't just the, it's a cross, your genius is a cross section of two things that are, that you're really gifted at. Maybe that is you're really, really, really inclined to understanding math, and you're really good at innovating, okay, and creating new things. And all of a sudden, now you're creating new answers to problems we've never been able to find with math, right? Maybe it's you're really good at math and you're really good at art, and you use that math, like geometry, to create new art. If you can find the cross section between three things, I mean, that's where you start to really find your genius. So the more we're able to expose our children and give them resources to build that genius, I think the better. The more they know about themselves, the more they're going to be able to find that out. And I think that's where unschooling is incredibly strong, because it's all about discovery. It's all about following your curiosity. It's all about your following your interests, your gifts. And the more you know about yourself in that way, the more you're going to be able to find your unique path, or what I call a genius. Moving on, cultivating a genius environment. So a home where creativity and inquiry are valued, it sets the stage for a child to experiment, including failing, which I believe is really important, and ultimately finding their genius. We have to try new things in order to discover more about ourselves, right? We as humanity, that's what we do. Being okay with failure is very important. The environment in which we do that needs to be safe in order to test ourselves. And so it's never going to be completely safe. We need to get comfortable with failing. When we do this, when we find where we can excel, where we need to improve, we can build our genius. I think that having the time and space to be able to do this is very important. And I think that the school day is so crammed and parents are so busy that there's no room for anything but what the school says is important. There's no room outside of that. There's no room outside of the curriculum. They're going to spend 7.5 hours, at least in the United States, about 7.5 hours during the day in a school. That doesn't include commuting to school. You commute to school, you have to get ready for school, you come back from school, then you have homework. Okay, so the school day didn't end. Now you have to do an hour or two of homework. Your parents need to get involved because the kid doesn't understand it. Parents are pressed for time to begin with because both the parents are working. And then everyone's exhausted at the end of the day. And what do you have left? You have the weekend, maybe, right? To fit everything you love in. I just don't think that's enough time. You need to also have time to recoup. So it's, I'll leave you like a day, an entire day to dive into something. Well, you also have other obligations. Maybe you signed up for basketball and you did this and you did that as a kid. My point is, when we follow this rigid curriculum and devote our life to doing this as a kid, I don't think you have time to dive into your own unique interests. You will, I mean, but it's despite that, right? You're going to fight it. You're going to find every free moment you can. You're not going to do your homework. That's what I did. Don't do your homework. Don't do anything else, anything you're not required to do, to find times for the things that you like, to find more about you, find out more about yourself. I think that unschooling is very strong in this, where we create the environment to test things, to follow our curiosity, to get to know ourselves. And then it leaves plenty of space to dive into what we're really interested in. I think that's worth pursuing. Moving on. The role of passion. I think this passion is going to help you find joy and purpose, but it will also help you find pain. Now, as a child, you might not have a true passion for anything. You may not. But I think passion is something that really is cultivated a little bit later. I think passion is found through maybe your pains. However, I can tell you that I've had pains in my life that happened before the age of 18 that influenced me now, so I could be wrong about that. So I have to rethink that. But I do think there is these hardships create passion, and you can't have space to go through these hardships unless you're allowed to make decisions for yourself. Now, you could argue, as I'm going to right now, that maybe school itself was the hardship and that created a passion. Well, I can tell you that's exactly what happened to me. School was very difficult. I got picked on a lot. I was going from school to school. I was always the new guy up until high school. And with the exception of when I was homeschooled. And you know what? That was hard for me. And I decided there was a better way once I found out a little bit more about myself. And that's what I'm trying to do for my children. And it became a passion. I want my children to be able to dive into their interest and learn about themselves early, because I did not get to. I had to learn about myself in my 30s and 40s to really understand who I was. I did it in my early 20s too. I took a long break from school, a couple of years. And then I dove in once I started to get direction. I still didn't have enough in my 20s. Finally figured out what I wanted to do after I got out of the military. Started diving in, dove in head first, became very good at what I did. And then I took another break and had to learn more about myself. And I really kind of unschooled myself to a point over the past year and a half. And, you know, that's when I started this podcast. I didn't want my children to have to go through that experience. I wanted them to know their self. I didn't want them to have to always measure up to other people's standards. I wanted them to find what they wanted to do and then measure up against their own standards. That's really the only person I think you should be comparing yourself to is you of the past. Are you growing? I think that's very important. And I think you're going to find a lot of joy and purpose in that. Looking back on the challenges you've overcome, where do you find your passion? Then you start to do something about that. I hope this podcast benefits you in your own personal journey, not just with your kids, but yourself. You wouldn't be listening to this podcast if I didn't find some kind of joy in doing this and helping others. I want to help others. This is one way I can do it. This isn't my life's mission necessarily. I don't know, but it's part of it. I know helping others is part of my life's mission. This is one way I can do that. At the same time, it pairs well with doing it for my own children. I might be a step ahead of you in the game, so I can talk a little bit more intelligently about this, and hopefully you take something away from it that's of value to you. And I'm putting myself out there for it. You know, it's hard to go up out there on the internet, the world wide web, and act like you know something. Hey, I know what I know, and I'm just going to talk about that. Talk about my own experience, strength, and hope. And just one step at a time as I walk blindly into the next jungle. And ground is always there. And the tigers don't kill me. And here I am standing still. So hopefully you're inspired by that, right? Take risks. Fail. Overcome the challenge. Move forward. It's for you as much as it is your kid. Moving on. Live the genius. That's another way you can support your child to get their genius going, right? Do it yourself. You have to be a model for them. You have to not just tell your children to find what they're uniquely gifted in and lean into that, but you also have to do it yourself. You can't just live this boring, mundane life because they will follow your lead. So if you want them to find, if you want your children to find their genius, I believe you have to lean into yours. One day they're going to come to a crossroad where they go, I can go with a guaranteed path where I can make some guaranteed money, or I can go out into this path of the unknown where it's going to be big and scary for me. And, but I'm really gifted at this and I think I can have a shot. But are they going to play the safe route and just go for the easy buck? Or are they going to go into the scary zone, the scary path, where they're going to follow their genius? And maybe it's not as laid out as the safe path, right? Every one of us have that choice. Maybe that's rediscovering yourself at 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. I don't know. I certainly know every 10 years I try and reinvent myself. I on my own personal journey, I started out as really just kind of doing my own thing. This was all throughout my childhood. I realized that people come and go in my life. I moved every year or two, sometimes more. And it was a new city, new place, new school, new challenges. And I just decided I was going to do my own thing and not care what people think. You know, I get criticism either way. I get people picking on me either way. So who cares? May as well do my own thing. And then I had to figure out which path I wanted to go on after I graduated high school. Well, I decided I was going to join the Army, the United States Army, and I did that. But I wasn't fully committed because I really didn't want to be a soldier necessarily. I wanted to pay for college. But then I decided to take it seriously. I became an expert in my field. And then I got out as quick as I could because I didn't like my life being controlled and being dictated by someone else. Then I decided to take a break from college and really discover where I was going to go, what I was going to spend my college tuition on. What was I going to learn? I wanted a guaranteed way to make money as I went on in this journey because I thought guaranteed money was better than no money. So I decided to get a job at a hospital, find a career in the hospital because I could help people. I could learn about the human body and health. And I didn't think those two things were bad things, and it paid well, and it was consistent, and it could work around my own schedule because you could do 12-hour shifts, three 12-hour shifts, and then you're off the majority of the days a week, or I could work as needed on my own schedule. I thought all those things converged were good things, and I became a respiratory therapist. My goal at that point was to become the best respiratory therapist I could, so I went to the best hospital I could find, and I found the best people to learn from that I could find. And then I aimed for the top and I tried to lead my profession in many ways. And I found my own little niche. And as I did that, I climbed to the top and then I decided to, at least as far as the top, as far as I was concerned, it was as high as I wanted to go. And then I started looking for other opportunities. And I left the medical field for a while. Got to know myself. Got to know what I'm good at. I also had I forgot about this, when I was in high school, I did computer technology as well. And as far as I can see in the future right now, computers and health are some things that I'm going to take to my next journey. Maybe being in the public spotlight for a bit, maybe with this podcast, otherwise, I don't know. But we all have our unique journey, and without being brave enough to take that risk, I would have not been able to do this. Hopefully I've touched some lives along the way, because I know my goal is to help other people in some form. I'll stop there because we're over time. However, I do want to make sure that I kind of close the loop on this. Cultivating a genius. It's the same thing I'm saying over and over again, guys. Follow their interests. Find what they're talented at. Dive into it with them. Walk alongside them, give them the resources and the encouragement that they need to be able to be that Mozart, to be able to be that, name another genius, Thomas Edison, Benjamin Franklin. These people who changed the world as we know it. We need more of those. I think that these people who went through the education system, at least in its current form, survive despite the education system. They don't thrive because of the education system, at least in the United States as we have it set up. I'm looking for an alternative path for my children, and I know you are too. That's why you're here. So take some risks. Do what you think is right. And with that, I'll end this episode. So stay curious, stay unschooled, and stay away from the algebra nightmares. I'll catch you in the next episode. So here's where we roll up our sleeves and bring out the big guns. If you support our mission, then please leave a review. On Unschooled Unleashed, we are talking about using a radical approach to education in today's world, and the more 5-star reviews we have, the more people will feel comfortable with the ideas, strategies, and principles we discuss. It gives legitimacy to our message, and the podcast's algorithm prioritizes us so we can reach more people. You may even have your 5-star review read on our podcast. Before I let you go, I have to pause and say this from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Your presence here is the fuel that ignites this movement. I am incredibly moved that you trust in us enough to click play. You, my friends, are the caped heroes in this story, the guardians of your family's learning journey, and a beacon of hope for your community. Be bold. Do what you think is best for you and your family. Thanks again for tuning in and taking this courageous leap outside of the box for this educational revolution. Welcome to the front line.